yourselves together. Right. Stand up and live your life. Right. I understand what you're saying, Jimmy, but at the same time, I totally would tell people to, you have to vote for Hillary because of how terrible Trump is. I mean, no. That's the bottom line. And that's just the, like, unfortunately, I have to say this. If Joe Biden's the nominee, you have to vote for Joe Biden over Trump.
So there you are. You're saying that Obama is saying one thing but intending to do another. And that's what I'm saying about you, David. I'm saying you're saying one thing, but you're intending to do another.
Obama played them, essentially.
Yes.
I mean, he pretended to be somebody that he wasn't to campaign because he was smart enough to know that he can win as a progressive. But then when it came to actually enacting policy, he can then just be conservative and nobody can say anything.
You're saying that we need progressives, and yet you're telling us in a general election to vote for neoliberals.
Obama is very intelligent. He knew what he was doing the entire time. And I think that's a hard pill to swallow at times for people to really grasp that fact that he played a fake progressive.
Hasn't been any leverage because you can complain and object to all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, politicians know that you're going to give them your undying and unconditional support because the other side is just mildly worse. What you're doing is you're ensuring that you will be ignored.
That was 10 years ago, and he was saying that about the Democratic voters. If you pledge your vote to a politician, what you're doing is you're guaranteeing that you'll be ignored. And that's what I was saying in the run-up to the 2016 election when everybody I worked with at the Young Turks and everybody in the world was pledging their support to Hillary Clinton. And I'm like, no, now is when you have to make her come get your vote because after the election, it's too late. There, I remember at the Young Turks, Jen's idea was we're going to fight her on day one. In fact, they were going to go protest her on the night of the election at her hotel in New York, but she didn't win. So my whole point is exactly what Glenn Greenwald said 10 years ago, that if we pledge our support to this party, we're going to keep, you have no leverage. What do you say to that?
I understand what you're saying, Jimmy, but at the same time, I totally would tell people to, you have to vote for Hillary because of how terrible Trump is. I mean, that's the bottom line. And that's just the, like, unfortunately, I have to say this. If Joe Biden's the nominee, you have to vote for Joe Biden over Trump. I mean, this is a guy who is essentially a fascist. I mean, you cannot allow President Trump to continue being president. I mean, which is why we have to get to impeachment, because there is no reason not to impeach this guy. If anybody else did what Trump did, they would be in jail.
Trump derangement syndrome, as propagated by the DNC establishment, along with Russia baiting and all of that, is a clear sign of a sheepdog, a professional sheepdog.
So let's before we get to impeachment, let's stay on.
Yeah.
So you disagree with Glenn Greenwald. You think you should pledge support and that's a winning strategy.
Well, I think he's saying in terms of pledging support. I mean, how do you?
Hey, let me play it again. Let me just play it again, and then we'll talk.
There's been any leverage because you can complain and object to all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, politicians know that you're going to give them your undying and unconditional support because the other side is just mildly worse. What you're doing is you're ensuring that you will be ignored.
I mean, that's the strategy that we've been, that's 10 fucking years ago.
But it's not just about voting, it's about building movements. I mean, if there is no...
And that's where the sheepdog really reveals himself. Because building a movement of fresh, young energy and then co-opting them into an evil party just adds more meat for the two-headed snake to feast upon. Which brings me to my larger point. David Dole is controlled opposition. This article will save the best point for last. David Dole is controlled opposition. As a placeholder/teaser, suffice it to say that our future ability to know if our fave lefty pundits are secretly working for the oligarchy will be key in resisting the narrative matrix and making it possible for populism to oust neoliberalism, thus making the world safe for democracy. To make this case against David Dole, I first need to make the case that politically savvy suburban voters are in cahoots with party insiders. Eventually, you'll see why I'm making this point. I need to show that David is working directly to influence the comfy suburban voters. The most politically astute and affluent of the comfortable suburban voters, e.g. those who preferred Elizabeth Warren and or Pete Buttigieg in the pre-Super Tuesday stages of the 2020 Democratic primaries, Crystal Ball calls them wine track voters, are aware of both parties' tradition of shutting out insurgent populists. Comfy suburbanites in both parties have learned that maintaining the status quo not only helps plutocrats, it also helps them. For that reason, comfy suburbanites in both parties would much rather continue to put up with Trump's neo-fascist version of neoliberalism than face the potential threat of a Bernie Sanders presidency. Left-wingers who want to achieve more for poor and working-class people than mere lip service and woke signaling have been shut out of the DNC over most of the last 100 years. This unholy alliance between affluent voters and party insiders has been going on for a long time and is the reason left populists likely will never amass enough leverage to nominate a populist presidential candidate, at least no one who will actually bring hope and change in a Democratic presidential primary. The best they can hope for is to be able to cause the Democrats to lose by withholding their votes from the supposed lesser evil Democratic candidates. And frankly, despite their protestations, it doesn't bother the affluent Dems all that much when they lose. If you can't see it, there's a picture here of a snake with two heads. One head is labeled Democrats, the other is labeled Republicans. Any questions? Don't be fooled. Our government duopoly is a two-headed snake that doesn't actually mind if one head has to take turns with the other head. It's all part of the game. But the snake knows that it can never allow a true populist to win, and that includes down-ballot populists, because then the populist movement behind the populist candidate might succeed in chopping both heads off of the snake, and we the people might actually be rid of the snake once and for all. The affluent suburban Democrats know very well how it works. They know that they are supposed to take turns with the affluent suburban Republicans in bragging that their team currently possesses the trophy. They all know that both teams are really just one team, and the real losers are those who do the actual work in society, providing them with what they need and desire. That's why both parties work so hard to keep grubby populist insurgents out of power, and why the party insiders and the affluent voters work so handily together to make it all happen. Here's where we bring in political pundits like David Dole. Political pundits know how to maintain their gig flow. Political pundits, including those who talk a good left-wing game, also know how the game works. They know that they all are working for the same team, and they know that their gig flow will continue unabated as long as one or the other of the two corporatists' heads of the snake are in power. As long as nobody kills the snake, the pundits always will have something to talk about, and the snake itself will make sure that they always get paid. So let's assume for a moment that you are reading this because you are hopeful that regular working people will rise up and the snake someday will die and we finally will end up with a government that represents us. The only way this can possibly happen is if regular people are allowed to receive news and information from somewhere other than the punditry who are being paid, either secretly or overtly, by the snake. Political pundits have an immensely powerful role in shaping how comfy voters in both parties view the world and how politics should shape that world. And comfy voters are the ones who vote, at least in primaries, thus shaping how things work for those lower down the socioeconomic ladder. Control the comfy voters and you control the entire system. Therefore, if you want to kill the snake, you will need to figure out how to reshape the way comfy voters view politics. But it is difficult to determine if even the supposedly independent commentators are the real deal. Without paying attention to all of the clues, with occasional WikiLeaks help, we won't know if lefty pundits are legit or if they merely are playing a bait and switch game with us to prevent populism from getting close to power. Such tactics are wielded by those Vladimir Lenin would label controlled opposition. Lenin famously said, "The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves." And these stealthy players in the game can be fiendishly difficult to detect. Keaton Weiss, who is an independent commentator not employed by the two-headed snake, describes the type of controlled opposition tactics secretly employed by bad guys to sterilize the opposition movements they purportedly lead by tempering the convictions of its members. An example of this would be Gabriel Riquetti, Count of Mirabeau, who during the French Revolution established himself as a key revolutionary leader while at the same time supporting a more moderate vision of constitutional monarchy. It was discovered after his death that he was actually being paid by King Louis XVI the entire time. In both the 2016 and 2020 DNC primary process, we have noticed that some lefty pundits have behaved in ways that are difficult to understand unless one considers the possibility that they are functioning as controlled opposition. This is from the article, When Should We Require Political Commentators to Show Their Tax Returns? A case in point for me was when Cenk Uygur consistently noted all of the glaring deficiencies in Hillary Clinton over the months leading up to the 2016 U.S. primaries, but then urged us all to vote for her in the general election after the establishment DNC cheated Bernie Sanders. As a progressive, I could see that his arguments previously had lined up with reasons that other progressives had put forward to show that Clinton's values, stances, and behaviors were not progressive, and thus not worthy of support. He also was able to make the case over time that corrupt Democrats and corrupt Republicans all answer to the same plutocratic owners. He had been an ardent critic of Wall Street crookery and had shown how complicit Clinton had been in that same crookery. But as it turns out, Uygur's The Young Turks, TYT, has had business dealings with Jeffrey Katzenberg, DreamWorks, a staunch Hillary Clinton supporter and donor. $20 million has been raised for TYT in a joint venture headed by Katzenberg. Had I known this, I would have been less surprised when Cenk switched direction in midstream last election cycle. The Jimmy Dore show yesterday featured a clip of a conversation with David Dole that I showed you a few minutes ago, discussing why all Bernie Sanders supporters last time were obligated to vote for Hillary in the general election and why this time they should vote for Joe Biden because, you know, Trump! Mehdi Hasan takes a similar position, and we've talked about him in previous shows. Jimmy Dore, Crystal Ball, and Kyle Kulinski all have chosen not to pledge to vote for Biden in the general election. Jimmy may vote green, Crystal may leave the president line blank, and Kyle may choose not to vote at all. But these are mere musings at this point. They have taken a great deal of heat on social media because of these positions, but I commend them for their courage because it makes it easier for the rest of us to decide what to do ourselves and to decide who is least likely to be getting paid under the table by the two-headed snake. All three of them agree that pledging up front to vote for the anointed, not democratically chosen, neoliberal candidate robs the entire progressive movement of any real leverage going forward and consigns not only U.S. workers to continued abuse, but also harms innocent people worldwide. And yes, I am saying that there can be no principled argument for voting for or endorsing neoliberal candidates, whether or not they are racist rapists. Neoliberalism is exploitative and thus patently evil. Voting for or endorsing evil can only be done by evil people.
If we pledge our support to this party, we're going to keep, you have no leverage. What do you say to that?
You have to vote for Hillary because of how terrible Trump is. I mean, that's the bottom line. And that's just the, like, unfortunately, I have to say this. If Joe Biden's the nominee, you have to vote for Joe Biden over Trump.
That makes no sense. That is fucking evil. You can't say that unless the snake is paying you. When it comes to Jimmy, Crystal, and Kyle, I hate to see their principled stance impugned by those I consider to be traitors and thieves. The very last thing I want to see is all of the youthful enthusiasm of Bernie's base again get shepherded, sheepdogged, into the evil DNC party where pragmatically getting things done means that you have, for all intents and purposes, joined the snake team. If progressives continue to succumb to lesser evilism, the game always will be rigged against populist insurgents, while faux populists, such as Donald Trump, will be the inevitable result of the last 40-plus years of neoliberalism that gives regular working-class people no true populist insurgents to rescue them from the swamp creatures of both parties. Honoré Gabriel Rigetti. When one meddles with the direction of a revolution, the problem is not how to make it go, but how to keep it under control.